Welcome to the John Lothian News Daily Update podcast for December 1st, 2023. I am your host, John Lothian. In this podcast, we provide an overview of the content featured in today's John Lothian newsletter. We'll cover insights from the hits and takes section, share stories from the first read section, highlight the top three stories from both the previous editions of JLN and JLN Options, and dwell into the first three stories featured in the lead section of today's JLN. This podcast is brought to you by John Lothian News, the proud home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. We invite you to explore our extensive collection of trading history videos on the MarketsWiki Education page at johnlothiannews.com. This includes the Open Outcry Traders History Project and the Path to Electronic Trading video series. Thank you for joining us. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. Julie Lerner, the founder and CEO of Pan Exchange, announced with deep remorse on LinkedIn that the exchange was closing its doors. Lerner created Pan Exchange to trade cash spot physical commodities and had created benchmarks in frac sand and hemp. The exchange's demise appears to be tied to the lack of funding from a backer. Pan Exchange had also moved into the carbon market, which must trade online, Lerner wrote. This would have played nicely into the sweet spot of Pan Exchange, which was its technology, designed to be able to trade different types of commodities, including carbon credits. In her LinkedIn post, Lerner said she appreciated everyone who has supported her during the Pan Exchange journey, especially her team and investors, and said she did everything she could to salvage the seven-figure deal that fell through. She is focused on helping the PX team find new opportunities, and she will miss them most, she said. I expect Lerner will see some demand for her technology, which attracted lots of interest from carbon credit sellers because of her market model. Merricks announced it has completed its acquisition of Cowen's prime brokerage and outsourced trading business. The business is now part of Merricks Capital Markets. Slate's Alex Kirshner's November 29 column, "Twitter is worth no more to Elon Musk dead than alive," makes some great points that Twitter, now known as X, is already marked down more than half since Elon Musk bought it. The subheadline of the piece is, "Maybe he can't help himself, or maybe he's endorsing anti-Semitic smears and cursing out advertisers for a reason." It's an interesting read. Justin Llewellyn Jones today announced on LinkedIn that yesterday was his last day at Broadridge, where he served as Chief Product Officer for Capital Markets. Justin is an old friend of JLN's from his days at Fidessa, where he spent 14 years before it was acquired by ION. The U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, SEC, has launched the SEC Scholars Program for the summer of 2024, offering paid 10-week internships to current students. The program includes two types of internships, student trainee program support and student trainee law. Applicants must apply by December 19, 2023. Internship locations are available in major U.S. cities. Information sessions are being held online December 7th, 11th, and 13th, 2023. The SEC Scholars Program aims to attract emerging talent in the securities and exchange field, providing valuable experience and career opportunities. Kenny Chen is starting a new position as Senior Sales Executive and Country Manager Hong Kong at Trading Technologies. Chen was previously a Senior Sales Executive with TT and has been with the firm since 2016. Our most read stories from the previous edition of JLN Options were: appetite for stocks drives VIX options as investors guard portfolios, from the Wall Street Journal; JP Morgan's S&P 500 outlook for 2024 is grimmest on Wall Street from Bloomberg, and it's eerily calm out there in the stock market from the Wall Street Journal. Subscribe to the free JLN Options newsletter with a link in today's JLN. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. Here's a podcast from Sally Duros. SGX's group, Harry Cho, discusses the role SGX plays in mobilizing capital for climate transition, the instruments available, and the focus of COP28. COP28 is in full swing in Dubai now, and to preview the financial discussions that are occurring publicly and behind closed doors, we talked in early November with Harry Cho, Managing Director, Head of Sustainability and Sustainable Finance for Singapore Exchange, SGX Group. Cho highlighted the role of financial infrastructure platforms such as SGX in financing the transitions to come in sustainability, social change, and climate change. You can listen to this podcast on johnlothiannews.com. Here's a story from Bloomberg News. The headline, Fears of a New World War Prey on Hedge Fund Titans and Policymakers Alike. The proliferation of interconnected conflicts is sparking comparisons with world wars past and focusing policymakers on measures to prevent escalation. Officials and investors are starting to worry that the world is sliding toward a new era of great power conflict as the number of flashpoints multiplies from West Africa through Ukraine to the Middle East, with countries scrambling to protect their interests and frozen conflicts again running hot. For some, the web of overlapping conflagrations carries echoes of the period before World War I, when the pacts linking major opposing blocs dragged Europe into a continental war. My comment. The fears may prey on the hedge fund titans and policymakers, but I pray my fears don't come true. Here's another story, this one from the New York Times. The headline, Advertisers say they do not plan to return to X after Musk's comments. Elon Musk, the owner of X, criticized advertisers with expletives on Wednesday at the New York Times Dealbook Summit. Advertisers said on Thursday that they did not plan to reopen their wallets anytime soon with X, the social media company formerly known as Twitter, after its owner, Elon Musk, insulted brands using an expletive and told them not to spend on the platform. At least a half a dozen marketing agencies said the brands they represent were standing firm against advertising on X, while others said they had advised advertisers to stop posting anything on the platform. Some temporary spending pauses that advertisers have enacted in recent weeks against X are likely to turn into permanent freezes, they added, with Mr. Musk's comments giving them no incentive to return. My comment. And why should they? There is way too much reputational risk advertising on X/Twitter. It's not worth the risk. Here's a story from the Financial Times. The headline, Billionaires amass more through inheritance than wealth creation, says UBS. A survey of global elite shows the great transfer between generations has overtaken entrepreneurship. New members of the global super rich gained more of their assets through inheritance than through wealth creation this year, the first time that this has been recorded by Swiss bank UBS in its 9 years of surveying global billionaires. A total of $141 billion was amassed by 84 self-made billionaires around the world in 2023, while $151 billion was passed on to 53 heirs, the bank's research found. My comment. Are we running out of great entrepreneurs? It will take another couple of generations for that to turn around, assuming the Earth is still a place. Here's another story, this one from the New York Times. The headline, Bill Gates fighting climate change should be affordable. The rich can make it so. As we head into COP28, the annual global meeting on climate change underway in Dubai, there are two dominating schools of thought, both of which are wrong. One says the future is hopeless and our grandchildren are doomed to suffer on a burning planet. The other says that we're all going to be fine because we already have everything we need to solve climate change. My comment. Here's an entrepreneur who made his money and did not inherit, who wants to make sure the Earth is still a place for generations to come. Here are the top three stories from Thursday's JLN. Our most clicked item Thursday was the new website for downtown Josh Brown, who wrote his final column as the Reform Broker on Wednesday. Second was the tie between that final column and Bloomberg's Miami Exchange Prep's trading floor in Wynwood during options boom about MIAX. Third was a tie between the Financial Times' How AI Will Change Investment and Research and Bloomberg's Citadel and its peers are piling into the same trades. Regulators are taking notice. Here are the top three stories from the lead section of today's JLN. From Bloomberg, the headline, Oil's Wild Ride is Driven by a Disruptive Band of Bot Traders. Trading oil has perhaps never been more of a roller coaster ride than it is today. Just in the past 2 months, prices have threatened to reach $100 a barrel, only to whipsaw into the 70s. On one day in October, they swung as much as 6%, and so far in 2023, futures have lurched by more than $2 a day, 161 times, a massive jump from previous years. What's happening can't be entirely explained by OPEC's machinations or the war in the Middle East. While supply and demand fundamentals still dictate overall commodity price cycles, the day-to-day business of trading crude futures is increasingly dominated by speculative forces, fueling volatility and driving a disconnect between physical and paper markets. And it's not just speculators in general. Traders are pointing the finger at an opaque group of algorithmic money managers known as commodity trading advisors. Here's another story, this one from Bloomberg. The headline, A grad school number cruncher shakes up the world of bond quants. Professors retract seminal finance paper after detective work uncovers flaws. What if researchers discovered a scientifically sound formula for predicting returns in the bond market? If you were a number-crunching investor known on Wall Street as a quant, it could validate your approach and offer clues to new trading strategies. But what if you later found out that key data underlying that breakthrough were actually wrong? That's the unsettling prospect facing the quantitative investing world now, thanks to the detective work of a then 28-year-old doctoral student named Alex Dickerson. While working on his degree at Warwick Business School in England in 2021, he tried to understand established thinking about bonds by replicating the field's seminal research. But he found he couldn't do that with an influential paper by three Georgetown University professors. And then finally, here's a story also from Bloomberg. The headline, Chocolate prices are rising everywhere as cocoa rots in West Africa. Punishing rains and the relentless creep of black pod disease push futures to their highest since the 1970s. The muck from incessant rain slashes around Nestor Nguyen's feet as he points to a plot of cocoa trees ravaged by rot on his farm in Ivory Coast. The 52-year-old grower can't save those plants from black pod disease, so he's focusing on efforts on quarantining whatever healthy ones he has left. The soakings of recent months mean fewer pods on his trees, with some supporting just a handful of cocoa buds. We appreciate your attentive audience for the John Lothian News Daily Update. Kindly think about sharing our podcast with your friends. Additionally, if you haven't already, we would be grateful if you could take a moment to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. Your reviews aid in introducing our content to new listeners. And if you haven't yet subscribed to the Daily John Lothian News email, you can enjoy a complimentary 90-day trial by visiting johnlothiannews.com/trial. Thank you for your support. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye. This podcast has been produced by Andrew Lothian.